put you in or something. That might be helpful. Praise God. We do want to remind you again, I know Frank already talked about it, but right now, media, today's the last day, out in the hallway, because we didn't have room on the clipboard. Too many things on the clipboard gets confusing. So we're going to be sending everything off Tuesday, and you'll start getting emails and plugging in to all the stuff that's available for you. It's going to be awesome. And then, of course, the classes start next Sunday night, 4 weeks, finance class, and also a couples class, but you don't have to be married. You can even be single and come to that class. Amen. We also want to be praying this morning for Jessica Smith. Her father passed away yesterday. And so be sure to hug her neck. They're here today. And the deeper you love, the deeper you grieve. And grieving makes us part of God's nature. Okay? Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. It's actually a gift to us. And what happens to one of us happens to all of us. We grieve together, we rejoice together. So, and I think probably, I don't know who to talk to, but I think probably we'll have some meals arranged or something so you can let that be known. Be watching for information on that. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our journey here today. I hope you've enjoyed this last week, Holy Week. It was a time of reflection, amen, a time of spiritual awareness. Many of you have fed back with me that this is your first time really embracing this time of the year like we have. And it's been a time of even of confession, repentance, holy. It's holy, a holy week. That means to separate. We have separated this time. And I appreciate this church because you have not sat on the sidelines, but you've engaged it, and that's wonderful. Some of you have participated in the Lent experience, which is new for you. And just being able to seek the Lord in maybe a special way. And last night, some broke their fast for the first time coming together. In fact, we have some slides to show you of Holy Week. For those of you who participated Thursday night, we had a Monday Thursday service, which again was the first for many of you. Our purpose was to try as best we could to capture and to experience what the disciples felt as they celebrated the last Passover with Jesus. It was quite an interesting evening for them. They had celebrated the Passover before, but this night would be different than any other. And as they met together, as they prayed together, Jesus washed their feet. And then as they went out to the garden, we know the evening was interrupted by a betrayal. And then Jesus was arrested and taken away. We know the story. So we read it and go, oh yeah, we know that happened. But imagine if you were one of the disciples, what you would feel at that moment. And that's what we tried to capture that evening. And we're going to probably do this every year. But it was a time just to kind of sense what it was like for them. Then Friday, of course, we all went to the movies. And there's one person in there that just kind of stands out. Do you see that? That orange shirt. Benjamin. Yeah, in fact, he said he was waiting for a guest to come and they couldn't find him. I can't imagine that, but because you could pick him out of the crowd. But we filled up the stadium. It was pretty awesome, and to be able to watch the movie Risen. And I hope it was a great experience for you. I know that even though part of the Tribune was a fictional character, the message is not fictional. It is a message of redemption. And if you're like me, you probably identify with some of the characters in the movie. Amen? I thought it was interesting, too, that after the movie, the staff had to come and chase us out, had to ask us to leave, because I think we thought it was like being at church. And we're just all standing around talking. And this lady comes up. I could tell she didn't know what to say to us. She said, I know it didn't probably come out right, but she said, could you take this outside? And I said, honey, we take this wherever we go. It doesn't matter where we are. We got this with us, you know, this fellowship. So it was pretty awesome. And then last night, those of you who braved the elements, we came together. And even outside the building here, we had a campfire. And Greg led us in some singing and worship, even though it was raining on us. It was a good experience because we, again, got to sense what it was like maybe to be in that dark hour. And then to get the word that Christ had risen and the tomb was empty, and then to break bread together. So I hope that was meaningful for you as well. I think one of the problems, however, even after experiencing all this week, and maybe you will identify with that, many of us look at the Easter story almost like a familiar menu at the restaurant. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you go to the same restaurant all the time? Do you do that? Order the same thing? That's what I'm like. Yeah, I'll go. In fact, the waitress knows me so well, the statement will be, do you want your usual? How many of you, anybody here like that? Wife, I always tell my wife, why fix it if it's not broken, right? But she says, she has a word for that. She calls it boring. She said, it's like when I go to Baskin Robbins and order vanilla. She said, there's 27 flavors and you're ordering vanilla. And I said to her, well, why do they have it on the menu then if you're not supposed to order it, right? It's one of the flavors. But for Connie, she loves variety. In fact, if you want to watch Connie light up like a Christmas tree, you ought to be having dinner with us in a restaurant when the waiter comes up and says, would you like to hear our specials for today? My reply is, not necessary. I know what I'm going to have. Connie goes, no, I want to hear the specials. There's something about the specials. They're new every day. They're new every morning. At the beginning of every day at the restaurant, they decide what the specials are going to be. And I want you to understand today, God is not boring. He's got some specials for us every single day. In fact, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22, listen to these words. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. How many of you are a little grateful for that today, right? We would be consumed if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies. Who is mercy for? The guilty. If you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. You need justice. I need mercy. And the writer declares, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Well, that's just like the specials at the restaurant, isn't it? Every morning we get their great, he says, is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. There's another phrase we like to hear, whether you're at a restaurant or maybe you're at someone's home. I've been to some of your homes, and we've had this experience. We've had a lovely dinner, and after the dinner, someone comes and clears the dishes away. But I love to hear this next phrase. Keep your fork. Keep your fork. What does that mean when they say keep your fork? It means dessert's coming, doesn't it? It means that the meal is not really over, is it? The meal's not over. In fact, there's still more to come. And don't give up your fork because something special's coming. You know what I like to do at a restaurant sometimes? And this is out of character for me. It's out of my comfort zone. Well, I like to say to the waitress, well, why don't you just surprise me? Bring me, just surprise me. And sometimes it takes, well, I don't know, just surprise me. And you never know. You know. That's the way God is. I believe he wants to surprise you because some of you, you look at the Easter story and you think it's boring, but it's not boring. If it's boring, I'll tell you why it's boring, because you're only reading about it, you're not experiencing it. If you're just reading about it, it's boring. But if you're getting to live it every day, I'm telling you, it's not boring. It's exciting. It's fresh every day. And God is, it's not a one-time historical event. What we celebrate today is something we get to experience as a church every single day. Several years ago, the Wichita Eagle, during the Holy Week, wrote an article. I'll never forget it. It was a full page. And it was written by several folks who were interviewed. And it was a debate on the resurrection of Christ. It was different opinions and evidences about did the resurrection really happen. And it was interesting to read. There were those who talked about the biblical accounts, the historical history. Some even looked at logical conclusions about the resurrection. But I noticed there was something strangely missing in the article. It's the one piece of evidence they didn't discuss. It's the most compelling evidence of all. It's you. It's you. It's me. It's the evidence of change, power-filled lives. That is the evidence of the resurrection. Did you know this morning over one-third of the world's population is gathering just like we are? Why would they do that? For a hoax? Something's happened in the lives of people. Is that right? Something's happened. I want you to turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter. This is what has happened. Tell me if this is your experience. In verse 3, Paul declares, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life." Amen? Now, whenever you see a baptism up here, and we don't believe in sprinkling, although we'll sprinkle you if you want, but we like to put you under the water. You know why? Because that's a water grave. That's a water grave. When they bury you, they aren't going to sprinkle dirt on you. They're going to put you in a hole. And they're going to fill it in. That's a grave. That's a water grave. But do you know what the beautiful experience of water baptism is? We go down in the likeness of his death, and then what do? You better hope we do. Right? We're going to bring you up in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what that is all about, isn't it? We are identifying with Christ. What happened to Christ is also happening to us. Look at verse 5. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Folks, this isn't just about dying. This is about living. That's what the resurrected life is. Knowing this. Do you know this? Do you know this? "That your old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." That is good news. You say, "Well, Pastor, does that mean that you never sin?" Contrary. You can talk to my wife. She'll give you a whole list of sins. I sin a lot. I sin more than I should. I stumble. I fall. But I am not a slave to sin. Sin no longer controls me. It does not dictate my life. I stumble from time to time, but a righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. God has a provision for us. It was always his plan. He knew about the problem of sin, and he made a provision for us. That's why he died. Verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." See, what you believe will determine what you do. What do you believe about Easter? That will determine how you live. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. That's why Jesus said it was finished. He's not going to die again and again and again and again. He only had to die one time. Is that right? Knowing that Christ has raised from the dead, he dies no more, and death no longer has dominion over him. And if it no longer has dominion over him, guess what? See, what happened to Christ happened to me. It doesn't have dominion over me either. You say, "Wait a minute. We go to funerals all the time." Yeah, I understand. It's got a pretty tight grip on us, but not that tight. Not that tight. It is the last enemy that will be defeated. I will never die. And you will never die. Death no longer has... I have no fear of death anymore. Used to, but don't anymore. Because now I will live forever. And just one breath separates me from the presence of God. Amen? Hey, listen, if I die, and I hope I die preaching some Sunday, you'd like to be here for that service? I said, "Man, our preacher died today. He died while he's preaching. Hopefully I get to the third point, but if not, that's okay." Yeah. I'm here to tell you, don't try to raise me up. Because I'll come back scratching and screaming, okay? I'm in the presence of God. That's what God created me to do. For death, he says, "For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin." See, that's a problem today. You don't do that. That you're missing out. That's why this is so boring to you. Reckon it so. You need to reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Let me say it again. This is the gospel message. You are not under the law, but you are under grace. Can you say amen to that? Anybody a little bit excited about that? That you don't have to live by the law anymore. It's not a list of rules. It's not a list of requirements that have been set up against you. Let me tell you, God paid the price so you could be free from the bondage of sin, and now you walk in the grace of God. The law cannot take you there. It is God's grace that brings you there. In your insert today, you can follow along. We got three simple little points for you to write down, all right? Three things that the disciples and the early believers walked away with from the cross, and you can walk out of here with it today as well. Three things. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 17, you can read the account. We've read it multiple times this week. As Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb, you know the story. And she's there. She's come to worship. Is she sad? You bet she is. See, she's just like the disciples. They thought it was over. You see, well, how is that possible? They walked with Jesus. How many of you believe that if you could have walked with Jesus, you'd live different today? It's not true. They're just like us. And Jesus was sympathetic with their weakness. You notice he doesn't chastise them for their unbelief. He just keeps working with them. Because even when he washed their feet, we experienced this Thursday night. When he washed their feet, what did he say to them? He said, I know you don't understand what I'm doing to you. But you will. You will. At some point, the lights are going to come on, and you're going to understand. Boy, we need that kind of patience with one another, don't we? Hey, we'll come to the knowledge, because the price has been paid. And so here they are, and here's Mary Magdalene, and she was portrayed so well in the movie, wasn't she? I love the character that played Mary Magdalene in the movie. And she was so overwhelmed by what God had done for her. But even she didn't really understand until she came to the tomb and she looked inside and it was empty. It was empty. And then the cool part happened as she's walking back. Jesus appears to her. And what's he say to her? What's the first word he says to her? Rejoice! Rejoice! What's our prayer today? We want God to restore to us the joy of our salvation. That's what happens when you encounter the true resurrection story. You can't help it. You're going to be so full of joy if you understand the critical mass of that moment and what happened. He said, rejoice. Don't be afraid. Go tell the disciples that you have seen me and that I'm going to meet them in Galilee. Go tell them. And she tells them, of course, and they're all excited. And then Jesus poof, appears in the room. Holy man. Wow. That's what I need to kick my life up a notch. How about you? Do you know what it says? He appeared to them. He spoke to them. They believed, and many doubted. See, you think if you just had some more signs and wonders, you'd do it. You'd believe them, wouldn't you? They're with Jesus. He's resurrected. They still struggle. They still have a hard time believing. So don't be too hard on yourself, okay? I believe. But my prayer is always, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Does anybody here doubt besides me? Am I the only one who sometimes struggles and wonders? You know, Lord, I don't think I quite get this. And you know, I want to believe, Lord. I want to believe. See, the disciples were the same. God understands it. And that's why he made this provision for us. And, of course, what does he tell the disciples? He says, I didn't call you just to follow me. I called you to be witnesses for me. And he gave them the Great Commission. And he said, go into all the nations, baptizing, making disciples, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. I speak this to you because God has given me all authority. And now I'm delegating authority to you so you can do this. Listen, this is not a boring story. This game's getting ready to get kicked up a notch. Because what did the disciples do? They ran and hide. They're like roly-poly bugs, aren't they? As soon as Jesus is arrested and crucified, man, they scatter. They're hiding. Who? What? The disciples? Hey, guys, don't you remember what Jesus said? Didn't he tell us what he was going to do? How many times do you look at the word and go, yeah, but Who's ever said, yeah, but? Hey, this is what the Word of God says. Yeah, I know, but. See, we're no different than they. And Jesus understands our weakness, and he doesn't get, it's not over. He's working with, he's saying, well, you may not understand right now, but you will. There's things you may not understand right now, but you will. In Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 49, we know there's these guys on the road to Emmaus. Don't you love that story? And they're coming, and Jesus encounters them, but they don't know who he is. And he starts engaging them. And he says, why are you so sad? And they said, what? Haven't you heard? Haven't you read the paper? Don't you know what's going on? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what just happened? And they begin to recount the crucifixion and all that happened to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? It says that he began to speak with them from Moses and all the prophets, all the scriptures pertaining to him. And then they coaxed him to stay for a while. And he breaks bread for them. And what happens? As he breaks the bread, their eyes are open. And they go, oh my gosh, this is Jesus. This is the resurrected Christ. And then he's gone again. Wish I could do that. Gosh, that would be so cool. Just and show up here and there. And they said, they looked at each other and said, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? See, this is the proof of the resurrection. Is the power-filled lives that come. The first A on your list, and it won't take us long to run through this, the first thing they walked away with is a new attitude. An outlook change. That's what happened. Yeah, they went from sad to glad. Have you ever had that experience? You're sad, and then all of a sudden you're glad. My problem is I go from sad to glad to sad to glad, depending on my circumstances. Is that you? We're no different. Yeah, that's what's... But all of a sudden the revelation came, and the power of the story, and they began to rejoice. See, joy is always present in the resurrection story and the lives that are touched by it. If you're just reading about it, that's one thing. But when you experience it, I'm telling you, your joy will rise to a whole new level. God wants to give us a new attitude, just like he did Mary Magdalene. Man, she ran back to tell the disciples. When the disciples met with Jesus, their attitude began to change. They went from cowards to great warriors. How do I know the resurrection's real? Because I saw what happened in their lives. That doesn't just happen from a hoax. And Paul said, if this didn't happen, then we don't need to come back next Sunday. You can stay home and watch television. You can play cards, whatever you want. That's what he said. We are fools if this didn't happen. But the reality is that 1/3 of the global population today has somehow experienced this. And I believe it is one of the evidences of this great experience called the resurrected life. In Revelations 12:11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. See, they went from roly-poly bugs to, we'll die for Jesus if we need to. Listen, you don't do that for a hoax. You don't give your life for a cause that is some falsehood that someone created. I'm not going to do that. If I'm going to give my life, if I'm going to lay my life down, it's going to be for a real deal. I mean, it's got to be authentic. Amen? What would you die for today? I'd die for my wife. Like that I would. I wouldn't even think about it. I would die for you. I would allow my blood to be spilt on the ground for you. Because I love you. See, that something happens. The love of God begins to overflow our lives. And it changes our attitude. How we look at people. We're not so selfish anymore. The disciples all of a sudden, see, where does fear come from? Why were they afraid? They were afraid for their lives. That's what they were afraid of. But now they come to this place that Revelation speaks of where this is, we don't love our lives anymore. Well, how did that happen? That's the power of God in somebody's life. We got to stop living our lives as if this is it. There's more. There is an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. For the love of Christ compels us. It compels us because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, then those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. It's a whole new attitude. It's what you get from the cross. We need to keep our fork. Keep your fork. It's not over. There's more to come. Stop acting like it's over. It's not over. Somebody said, well, seeing is believing. Well, I think when you encounter the cross, that gets turned around a little bit and believing becomes seeing. Because when you believe and embrace the living Christ, all of a sudden, what did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Thomas, for you have touched and seen and believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. That's us he's talking about. We didn't get to sit there. I would have liked to have put my hand in his side. I would have liked to have touched the nail prints in his hands. I would have really liked to have done that. However, they did it and still struggled. I believe what God has given us is a witness that's even greater than that. Because what you determine, what you believe determines what you will do. Don't tell me what you believe. Show me. Show me what you believe. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, turned their sadness to joy. They rejoiced. They went with gladness. The disciples in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 4, were beaten for their faith. And what's it say? They rejoiced for the honor to suffer for Christ. Folks, you don't do that for a hoax. They saw something. Something happened to them and it changed their attitude. They were willing not even to count their lives valuable. We talk about faith today, and I see people, and I believe, we live by faith, not by sight. Faith, it's all about, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I got a question, because sometimes I look at people who are walking in faith, and they have no joy in their life. And I wonder what faith it is they have. Because you can't encounter the living God and not have a change in your heart that will affect your countenance. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be weird and there's some people I'm going, hey, get back from me. You know, give me some space here. But there ought to be, if you're walking around and your countenance is sad and depressed all the time, you have not encountered the living God. Because when Jesus encountered, every single time when he encountered them, joy filled their hearts. That's why David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Man, we've got to have that back, because the joy of the Lord is our... You want to be strong. It's through that joy. Secondly, they walked away with a new assurance. One was outlook. This is outcome here, buddy. This is outcome. They had a new assurance. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul declared that Jesus is the first fruits of those who... if he's the first fruits, what's that mean? Keep your fork. Keep your fork. There's more coming. Jessica's here today. Her dad went to heaven yesterday. But we have an assurance, do we not? We do not sorrow as those who have no hope, because we have an assurance. It's the cross. When I look at the cross, I think of, this is the year my wife and I, we lost all our parents. They're gone. What do you believe? What do you believe about the resurrection? Jesus said, hey, I'm first, you're going to be second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. It's coming. There's a promise, and we have a hope. We have a hope in this resurrection story, and it affects us. So yeah, this is the last enemy that will be defeated. And it will be defeated. It cannot hold me anymore. Man, that is a new assurance, isn't it? See, if you really believe that, well, you're not going to cower in a corner of a room somewhere, are you? Because what's the worst that can happen to you? April, I told him about the story when you were young, and there was a guy that threatened our lives from prison. And he's the guy that had threatened Bob Dole. And the Israeli government had him in jail at one time. And somehow I got hooked up with him. I don't know how that happened. God, I'm a sucker. And he wanted me to do something one day, and I wouldn't do it. And he got real mad at me, and he said, I know where you live. I know where your family is, and you will pay. And I went, whatever. So I went to the authorities of the prison. It was in El Dorado, and I said, should I be concerned about this? They said, you should be concerned, and you need to file a report, and we'll file a report with the community where you live, and if he ever gets rid of blah, 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 show his picture to your family. And I remember so well, I showed it to April. She was a young teenager. I said, April, if you ever see this guy, don't talk to him, don't engage him. Get away from him as quick as you can. She said, why, Dad? I said, because he's threatening to kill us. I said, but don't worry. Because all that means is we're going to heaven. And I'll never forget, she looked at me, she goes, that's not the worst thing that can happen. I said, what's the worst thing that can happen? He said, he could torture us first. I had nothing to say. Yeah, he could. He could do that. See, if you have the assurance, what are you afraid of? What could happen to you? I mean, really, what could, other than the torture? My wife would be okay as long as you don't threaten to cut her with a knife. She can do anything but the knife. You know, if I just hold up a butter knife, she is submissive to me. I got my butter knife. Don't. You see, it's not about dying. It's about living. You remember the little children's prayer? Did you ever pray it? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should, before I wake, stop. Let's change the prayer. If I should wake before I die. See, that's the reality. It's not if I die before I wake. That's easy. But what if I wake before I die? That's the resurrected life. And God wants you to, and if you wake in the morning, yeah, because who knows? I get up every morning. Hey, I made it another day. I'm here, Lord. I'm here to serve you. I jump out of bed. My wife will tell you, drives her crazy. I said, man, we got a new day, baby. We got a whole day ahead of us to live for God. She said, oh, stop it. Yeah, can I get up that way? I mean, I know life is short, and I want to redeem every minute. There's exciting things waiting for us, right? Well, Galatians 2:20 declares it, and you need to put this on your refrigerator, on your bathroom mirror, and wherever you go, and declare it to be true, that you, my friend, are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But the life you now live in the flesh, you live by what? Faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. See, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. See, that's the reality. If I should wake before I die, look out, devil, because here I come. I got another day here on earth to make a difference. Why? Because of that. Because of that. That's what makes it all possible. That's not boring. If life is boring, then you're on the wrong page. God wants you to be excited. There needs to be a spring in your step. And lastly, they went away with a new assignment. They had a new attitude, they had a new assurance, and now they got a new assignment. Jesus declared it, didn't he? The Great Commission. I didn't call you just to be my followers, I called you to be my witnesses. John 20:21, Jesus said, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Every day, I'm on a mission. I get up. You get up. If I should wake before I die, then I am going to be sent into this world this day. And who knows what's waiting for me? We got it pretty good here in America. There's some countries you might not make it through the day if you declare your allegiance to this Christ. There are many who die for the faith. More people have died in this last century than all of time for this name Jesus, who, by the way, was a hoax. Really? Why is darkness set against him if it was a hoax? Why is it? Tell me, in our society, it's Christianity that's under attack. Not so much the other religions of the world, it's Christianity. Why? Because it is real. And the enemy knows it. And the resurrection power is a threat to the powers of darkness. And that's why Jesus said, I want you to get out there. Who would have thought, if we just said to the disciples that day, hey, listen, here's what's going to happen, guys. Come on out of hiding. Come on, it's going to be okay. Oh, you're all going to die for your faith. Don't worry about it. As long as they don't torture you first, you'll be okay. Come on, you'll be quick. Even Jesus said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yeah, I love you, Lord. Do you love me, Peter? Of course, Lord. No, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. That's good. I want you to feed my lambs. And then what happened next? He told him how he was going to die. I think I'd have kept that from him, would you? You got to hold that back. Don't let him know that, because it might cause him to retreat. Unless... something happened that was for real. And instead of retreating, he ran towards it. That's the evidence of the resurrection. It's not over. The cross was not the end, it was only the beginning. I loved in the movie, did you catch it? When the tribune was running with the disciples and the Roman guards were chasing him, did you catch the little phrase he said to them? When, you know, Peter, and I thought the guy that played Peter was really good. He goes, "We're not afraid to die." You know, they were moving in on him. "Yeah, we're not afraid to die." And what did the tribune say to them? "Yeah, I know, but we must protect the message you've been entrusted with." Whew, that gave me goosebumps. It's not about you. It's about the message you've been entrusted with. And God has a plan. He has a provision to deal with the problem, to take us back to the original plan. I want to encourage you today that it's not over. If you've got a prodigal child that's not living for God and you about ready to give up, it's not over. It might feel like it's over, but it's not over. If you have a broken marriage, you think, "Man, we've tried everything. I think we're about ready to throw in the towel." It's not over. Because of this, it's not over. You have a financial struggle in your life. You think, "Man, it's just getting worse. It's not getting better." It's not over. Keep your fork. I know it. You think, "Man, I don't know. This is not going well at all for me." It's not over. It's not over. Jesus is saying to the disciples, "Listen, I know you don't understand it right now, but you will. And there are things that will happen in your life. And sometimes you're going to get all stressed out. But it's not over. And it's not about your life anyway. It's about the message you've been entrusted with. And God's going to take you to the end of the story, just like He promised. He's going to hold your hand. You're going to cross over to the other side. And you're going to be in His presence forever. So what is your problem?" The problem is we need a new attitude. We need a new assurance. And we need to understand the assignment that God has given to us. Amen? I know it's late and it's time to go, and we want to come around the table today. But I want you to understand something very important. And this is the gospel message. Romans 3:23, you all know it, don't you? "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God passed over the sins that were previously committed." Whoa! Really? Why? "To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." Listen, God is a just God. He cannot pass over sin. That's why this had to happen. Why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't He just go to heaven, forget the cross, just go right to heaven? We can still pray to Him. He can take care of us. He can say we're forgiven. That's the end of it. No, He couldn't do that because God is a just God. He said, "Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. How can God be just and justify sinful men?" Only one way. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. Jesus came under the wrath of God in Isaiah 53:4-6. This, every time I read this, it gives me goosebumps. It says, Yet it pleased the Lord to crush His Son. Do you know who crucified Jesus? The Father. It was the Father. He crushed His Son. Crushed Him. Why? For you and for me. It had to be. It was the only way. He bore our sins. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." This is what we call substitutionary atonement. This will help you understand what happened. In substitutionary atonement, God is treating His Son as if He lived my life. And He is treating me as if I lived Christ's perfect life. This is not done by the law. This is done by grace. Last couple of weeks, I did a funeral service for the previous owner of Whole Foods. They were clients of mine as an insurance agent. Rain was her name. Sweet lady, sweet lady. We spent many, many hours, my wife and I, around her kitchen table. And, of course, she knew about my role in ministry. And so we talked a lot about religion. And Rain was a student of world religions. And she asked me one day, she said, "Joe, what's the difference? They're all the same. They all have scriptures. They all have holy men. They have rules and regulations, good teachings, good people doing good things for others." And I said, "Rain, there is one difference." And I agreed with her. I said, "You know, you're right. A lot of the religions of the world have good things attached to them. But there's one thing missing. And I explained to her substitutionary atonement. I said, "Name one religion of the world that has this. Why is it a problem for people? Because to the Jew, it's a stumbling block because they believe you had to go through the law. To the Greek, foolishness. There's no way this could be true. I mean, you got to do something. You can't get something like this for free." Because my mama always said, if it sounds too good to be true. This is one time mama was wrong. She was wrong. It does sound too good to be true, but it is true. And it is free. On this cross today, to help you understand and visually see what I'm talking about, I want you to understand what God has done for you. Because there's people here today, you got sin in your life and you're struggling with it right now. And you, this whole thing of forgiveness just doesn't seem real to you. And I have written on this cross things you might relate to. Anybody here guilty of adultery? You don't raise your hand. Just wink at me. Go like this. Unfaithfulness, unforgiveness, pride, greed. We have a tendency to compartmentalize them, but to Jesus, it's all one thing. It's sin. It's the problem of mankind. We got a problem. Sin entered into the world. It started in the garden. It's affected us to this day. Adam hid from God. We're hiding from God. Adam covered himself. We're covering ourselves. Adam was afraid. We are afraid. Relationships were broken. Nothing's changed. It's because of the sin issue. But God saw it and he said, "Okay, no problem. I know about the problem. I've made a provision for you. And this is the fulfillment of it. And I'm going to deal with this problem called sin, hate, fornication, pornography." Name it in your heart right now. You say, "Well, yeah, but I'm not like other people." Really. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Cooper, come on up here. This is my grandson. You hear me talk about Cooper all the time. Here's Cooper. Cooper, I want you to show us what happens when God forgives us. I want you to light that paper right there. Can you do that? You know how to use one of these? There you go. Did you do that? Wow, buddy. All that's left is the nails. When you are forgiven, you are forgiven. When God forgives you, your sin is as far as the east is from the west. It'll never be brought up against you anymore. Do you believe that to be true? If you don't believe that, this is a boring story. But if you believe this, joy has come into my life. Because I am forgiven. I'm a broken man and I cannot save myself. But God saved me. He saved me. And it's in that spirit this morning that we're going to come to the Lord's table. Amen? And we're going to dip the bread in the cup because the price has been paid in full. And I'm going to invite you to come down the center aisle, take the bread, dip it in the cup, and take it. And remember what Christ has done for you. If this is boring to you, stay in your seat. But if this is the most exciting news you have heard in your entire life, then I want you to come up and I want you to dip the bread. Robert's going to sing for us today a special song as we're coming to receive the bread. Let God minister to you. And I want to give you an invitation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you give in the offering. I'm not asking if you do all the dues, because the dues aren't going to do this. It's not the dues. It's the who. It's the who. And if you want to experience that today, I invite you to open your heart to Him. Now somebody says, "Well, how do you get saved? You got a little prayer, I got a little card, just read this prayer and you'll be saved." Is that how it works? Some people would have you believe that. Maybe you just need the four spiritual laws. You know, just, I'm not putting that down. I've used it myself. But here's the reality, and it hit me one day. I was in a big crusade, and I saw somebody weeping in their seat, and they gave an invitation to come forward, and this young man got up, and he went to the front. And God said to me at that very moment, he was saved before he ever got out of his seat, because I saved him. I saved him. I drew him. You can't even come to him unless he draws you. And if this morning you're being drawn, that's not you. That's God drawing you. It's the exciting news of the gospel message. It's what makes it different from every other religion of the world. God is giving you an invitation. You're not inviting him. He's inviting you. He's inviting you. You didn't pursue him. He pursued you. You didn't love him. He loved you. He loved you when you were his enemy. And that's what this Easter Sunday is all about. And that's why we have such joy. Father, as we come this morning to this table and we dip the bread, just as the disciples dipped the bread, we're dipping the bread. And we're remembering the beautiful gospel news that we are forgiven and you have redeemed us and justified us. And now we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we no longer value our lives. We are totally yours. We celebrate that today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you come.
Walking on the road to Jerusalem, time had come to sacrifice. The time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walked beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. They said, Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? So much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reach the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers there, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. And then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him! We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in a drama, a part I did not want to play. Why upon the stage were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they've come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent, and he was arrogant and loud. I can still hear his angry voice. screaming at the crowd. And someone said, "There's Jesus." And I scarce believed my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns on his brow. Running down the cross, falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. And I watched him when he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Till a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, "Carry his cross." Then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I put it on my shoulder. We started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding, it was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. Yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them." Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. "Into your hands I commit my spirit," he prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time, until I felt two little hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us." The Lamb ran away. "Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much we don't understand." So I took them in my arms. We turned and faced the cross. Then I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb."
You see the Lamb who's slain for us, perfect in every way, innocent in every way, but he took our sins upon him. Gosh, if God never does another thing for me, he's already done enough for me to praise him for all eternity. This is not boring, this is exciting. And I hope you can leave as Martha left the tomb, Mary Magdalene left the tomb, as the guys on the road to Emmaus encountered Jesus. I pray your experience will be the same, that we at Faith Community Church will walk in the joy of our salvation. And we're going to be so joyful, we're going to make sure everybody else knows about it. Amen. Don't keep it to yourself. There's people desperately need to hear from you, and God will lead you to them. And here's how you're going to do it. You say, well, I don't even know the Roman road. No, but you know your story, and you tell your story. You will overcome the enemy and the work he does in people's life by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and by not counting your life valuable. Remember what the tribune said. It's not my life that matters. It's the message that's been entrusted to me. And the day I breathe my last breath, I want to make sure that maybe that message would be the last words that I can share with someone. Wow, that nothing would be more awesome. Would you stand with me? I want you to go in God's love today and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life. We're going to be here to pray. It's Easter. I know you got to go. You're going to be with your families. My family's here. But we will take time today, believe me, to pray and to take advantage of all that has been done for us. We are in Christ. We have been baptized in the likeness of His death. And we now have raised into new life in the likeness of His resurrection. Not so we can continue to live in our sins, but so we can live unto Him. Lord, help us, Father. We love You. We are in awe of You. Lord, forgive us if we've just made this just a ritual. It's got to be more than that. Even coming here on Sundays, Lord, not just a habit, but something powerful is happening in our lives. Lord, may we see it. May we bear witness to it. May we declare it to be so with everyone we meet in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. God bless you as you go. There'll be people here to minister to you. Please take advantage of the body of Christ. We love you. Happy Easter. Enjoy your day. Jesus loves you.